سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no god has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a straying. And every straying is in the fire. Tonight's talk or debate with the deviants is taken from the book called Manadharatu A'immat al-Salaf Ma Hizbi Iblisi wa Afrakh al-Khalaf Dirasatan wa Tahleela. And this is by Abu Usama Salim ibn Eid al-Hilali, hafadhahullah. Or, debates of the Imams of the Salaf with the parties of Iblis, the Shaytan, and the lowly people from amongst the Khalaf, or the latter generations. A study and explanation. Tonight's debate is between Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and the Hururiyya as they opposed Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And this narration has been collected by Abdul Razak in his Musannaf and Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and Imam al-Nasai rahimahullah in his book called Khasaisu Ali and Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak and other books from the collections of hadith and the narrations of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, the Tabi' Tabi'een and the scholars of this deen, and this narration is authentic. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It'll take a couple of minutes, inshallah. We'll read the Arabic text and then we'll begin with the translation and the explanation and what we benefit from the story, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنه قال لما خرجت الحرورية اعتزلوا في دار وكانوا ستة آلاف وأجمعوا على أن يخرجوا على علي فكان لا يزال يجيء إنسان فيقول يا أمير المؤمنين إن القوم خارجون عليك فيقول دعوهم فإني لا أقاتلهم حتى يقاتلوني وسوف يفعلون فلما كان ذات يوم أتيته قبل صلاة الظهر فقلت لعلي يا أمير المؤمنين أبرد بالصلاة لعلي أكلم هؤلاء القوم قال فإني أخافهم عليك قلت كلا وكنت رجلا حسن الخلق لا أوذي أحدا فأذن لي فلبست حلة من أحسن ما يكون من اليمن وترجلت ودخلت عليهم في دار نصف النهار وهم يأكلون فدخلت على قوم لم أر قط أشد منهم اجتهادا جباههم قرحة من السجود وأيديهم كأنها ثفن الإبل وعليهم قمص مرحضة مشمرين مسهمة وجوههم فسلمت عليهم فقالوا مرحبا بك يا ابن عباس وما هذه الحلة عليك قلت ما تعيبون مني فقد رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحسن ما يكون من في ثياب اليمنية ثم قرأت هذه الآية قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق فقالوا ما جاء بك قلت لهم أتيتكم من عند أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المهاجرين والأنصار ومن عند ابن عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وسهره وعليهم نزل القرآن فهم أعلم بتأويله منكم وليس فيكم منهم أحد لأبلغكم ما يقولون وأبلغهم ما تقولون فقال طائفة منهم لا تخاصموا قريشا فإن الله عز وجل يقول بل هم قوم خصمون فانتحى لي نفر منهم فقال اثنان أو ثلاثة لأكلمنه قلت هاتوا ما نقمتكم على أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وابن عمه قالوا ثلاث قلت ما هن قال أما إحداهن فإنه حكم الرجال في أمر الله وقال الله إن الحكم إلا لله ما شأن الرجال والحكم قلت هذه واحدة قالوا وأما الثانية فإنه قاتل ولم يسب ولم يغنم إن كانوا كفارا لقد حل سبيهم ولئن كانوا مؤمنين ما حل سبيهم ولا قتالهم قلت هذه ثمتان فما الثالثة وذكر كلمة معناها قالوا محى نفسه من أمير المؤمنين فإن لم يكن أمير المؤمنين فهو أمير الكافرين قلت هل عندكم شيء غير هذا قالوا حسبنا هذا قلت لهم أرأيتكم إن قرأت عليكم من كتاب الله جل ثناؤه وسنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يرد قولكم أترجعون قالوا نعم قلت أما قولكم حكم الرجال في أمر الله فإني أقرأ عليكم في كتاب الله أن قد صير الله حكمه إلى الرجال في ثمن ربع درهم فأمر الله تبارك وتعالى أن يحكموا فيه أرأيت قول الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقتلوا الصيد وأنتم حرم ومن قتله منكم متعمدا فجزاء مثل ما قتل من النعم يحكم به ذو عدل منكم وكان من حكم الله أنه صيره إلى الرجال يحكمون فيه ولو شاء يحكم فيه فجاز من حكم الرجال أنشدكم بالله أحكم الرجال في إصلاح ذات البين وحقن دمائهم أفضل أو في أرنب قالوا بلى بل هذا أفضل وفي المرأة وزوجها وإن خفتم شقاق بينهما فبعثوا حكما من أهله وحكما من أهلها فنشدتكم بالله حكم الرجال في صلاح ذات بينهم وحقن دمائهم أفضل من حكمهم في بضع امرأة خرجت من هذه قالوا نعم قلت وأما قولكم قاتل ولم يسف ولم يغنم أفتسبون أمكم عائشة تستحلون منها ما تستحلون من غيرها وهي أمكم فإن قلتم إنا نستحل منها ما نستحل من غيرها فقد كفرتم وإن قلتم ليست بأمنا فقد كفرتم النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم فأنتم بين ضلالتين فأتوا منها بمخرج أفخرجت من هذه قالوا نعم وأما محي نفسه من أمير المؤمنين فأنا آتيكم بما ترضون إن نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الحديبية صالح المشركين فقال لي علي اكتب يا علي هذا ما صالح عليه محمد رسول الله قالوا لو نعلم أنك رسول الله ما قتلناك فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم امح يا علي اللهم إنك تعلم أني رسول الله امح يا علي واكتب هذا ما صالح عليه محمد بن عبد الله والله لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خير من علي وقد محى نفسه ولم يكن محيه نفسه ذلك محاه من النبوة أخرجت من هذه قالوا نعم فرجع منهم ألفان وخرج سائرهم فقتلوا على ضلالتهم قتلهم المهاجرون والأنصار عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنه he narrates as he says when the Hururiya went out to oppose Ali they got together in a home and they were about 6,000 they all agreed that they would fight to overthrow Ali and there was always someone coming saying O Amir al-Mu'mineen indeed the people are going out to oppose you the Amir al-Mu'mineen is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu he said leave them alone because I will not fight them until they fight me and they will surely fight me and when it was that day I came to him just before Salatul Dhuhr and I said to Ali, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, hold off on the Salat. Perhaps I might be able to speak to those people. He said, indeed, I fear for you. I said, and this is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu talking, I said, don't worry. Indeed, I am a man with good character and I don't harm anyone. So he gave me permission to go. So I put on my finest clothing from Yemen and I combed my hair and I entered upon them in that home that they were gathered in the middle of the daytime while they were eating. So I entered upon a people and I have never seen anyone who works as hard as they work. On their forehead was sores because of their prostrations. And their hands were rough like the hoofs of the camels. And they had work clothes on, and they had some signs of wear in their face or something like that. He said, so I gave them the salams, and they said, Marhaban bika ya ibn Abbas, what is this fine clothing that you have on? I said, are you criticizing me? Indeed, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The finest thing he used to wear was his Yemeni clothing. And then I recited to them the ayah, and this is from Surah Al-A'raf, verse 32, where Allah says, "Say, who is the one to make haram the beauty that Allah had taken out for His servants and the good things of and the good things from the provisions?" Or as Allah subhanahu wa taala says. They said, okay, what brings you here? He said to them, I came from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I came from the Muhajirun and the Ansar. I came from the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the one who is married to his daughter. The people who the Quran was revealed to. And they are more knowledgeable of the understanding of the Quran than you are. and there is no one from amongst you, from amongst the Sahaba. And I came to tell you what they said, and then I will tell them what you said. So a group of them said, don't debate the Quraysh, because indeed Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, rather they are a people who love to debate, or love to argue. So a group of them, they came over to me, and two or three of them said, we will certainly speak to him. So I said, give me what you have. What is your grudge against the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his cousin? Referring to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. They said, we have three things. He said, and what are they? They said, as far as the first of the three, then indeed he has made men judge, he has made men judge in the affairs of Allah. And Allah says, and this is from Surah Al-Zukhruf, and in other verses in the Quran, or this is from, excuse me, this is from Surah Al-An'am, verse 57, and Surah Yusuf, verses 40 and 67, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the verdict or the judgment is only for Allah. So what's up with the men and them making verdicts? So I said, okay, this is one. They said, as far as the second one, then indeed he fought, and he didn't take any war captives, and he didn't take any war booty. And if they were kuffar, then it's permissible to take war captives. And if they were believers, then it's not permissible to take war captives, and it's not permissible to fight them. I said, this is two, so what is your third one? And he mentioned a statement similar to this meaning. They said, he removed himself from being the Amirul Mu'mineen. And if he's not the Amirul Mu'mineen, then he is the Amirul Kafirin. If he's not the leader of the believers, then he is the leader of the Kufar. So I said, do you have anything other than what you presented? They said, no, this is sufficient. So I said to them, don't you see that if I recited to you the book of Allah Jalla Thana'uhu and the sunnah of his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which will refute what you just said, will you return back to the truth? They said, yes. I said, as far as your statement, he made men judge in the commandments of Allah or in the affairs of Allah, then indeed I will recite to you from the book of Allah, where Allah himself has given his judgment to men in an eighth في ثمن ربع درهم, in a small number of amount of money. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala allowed the people to judge in that affair. And you'll see by the ayah, inshallah ta'ala. Don't you see the statement of Allah ta'ala, O you who believe, don't kill game while you are in the state of ihram. And whoever kills some game while he is in the state of ihram intentionally, then his punishment is to offer an eatable animal equal to the one he killed. And to be judged in that affair by the righteous from amongst you. And this is from the verdict of Allah, that he has given the judgment to men so that they can judge in the case. And if Allah wanted to judge in it, he could have. But he made it permissible for the men to judge. I ask you, for the sake of Allah, is the verdict of men pertaining to the unity of the Muslims and the saving of the shedding of the blood of the Muslims better, or judging pertaining to a rabbit, talking about killing the game while you're in the state of ihram? They said, rather, this is better. He said, pertaining to the women and their husbands, and the statement of Allah Ta'ala, and if you fear a separation between the two, then send a judge from his family and a judge from her family. And this is from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 35. I ask you by Allah, is the verdict of men in relationship to the unity of the Muslims and the saving of the spilling of their blood better, or their judgment pertaining to having sex with a lady? Did I get out of that one or not? They said yes. He said, as far as your statement, he fought and he didn't take any war captives and he didn't take any war booties. Are you going to take your mother Aisha radiallahu anha as a war captive and make permissible to do with her what you make permissible to do with other war captives, and she is your mother? If you said indeed we make permissible to do with her what we do to other war captives, then you have disbelieved. And if you said that she is not your mother, then you disbelieved. And Allah, he says, the Prophet has more right to the believers than their own souls, and his wives are their mothers. You are between two types of deviants. Why don't you try to get out of both of them? Did I get out of that? They said yes. He said, as far as Ali wiping himself, wiping the title Amirul Mu'mineen from himself, then let me bring you something that you'll be pleased with. Indeed, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the day of Al-Hudaybiyah, he made a treaty with the mushrikeen. And he said to Ali, O Ali, I want you to write, this is the treaty, or this is what is agreed upon by Muhammad Rasulullah. They said, if we knew that you were the Messenger of Allah, we wouldn't be fighting you. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, erase it, Ali. O Allah, indeed you know that I am the Messenger of Allah. Ali wiped that out and write, this is what has been agreed upon by Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And I swear by Allah that the Messenger of Allah is better than Ali. And he wiped out his own self, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his wiping out of himself didn't mean that he wiped himself from the position of prophet, or his position of prophethood. Did I get out of that one? They said yes. 2,000 from amongst them returned to the truth, and the rest of them fought against Ali, and they were killed because of their deviance. They were killed by the Muhajirun and the Ansar. And this story, or this debate between Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the scholar of this ummah, we find many benefits if we try to reflect on this story, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. Firstly, as he says, that the Hururiyya, and they are the Khawarij, that they had got together and agreed that they would go against Ali radiallahu anhu. If we take a look at some of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam around the issue of the Khawarij, we would find many of their descriptions. And you can refer to the book of Zakat, the chapter, the mentioning of the characteristics of the Khawarij, and then the next chapter, the encouragement of killing the Khawarij, and then the chapter after that, the Khawarij are the worst of the creation, in Sahih Muslim. And you can see some of the hadith around the Khawarij, and to learn some of the characteristics of the Khawarij. From amongst their characteristics is that they oppose the Jama'ah, and they break the Jama'ah of the Muslims. And they have other characteristics that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given them, like they read the Quran but they don't understand it, and that they will go out of this deen, that they will leave this deen as fast as an arrow would leave through a bird when you kill it, as you shoot the arrow through the bird, or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes them. The Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam, he also describes them as having bald heads, as they always shave their heads bald, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. At any rate, they're uniting together to oppose and overthrow the Khalifa of the Muslims and the Amirul Mu'mineen Ali radiallahu anhu. This is against the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we have explained oftentimes from the Aqeedah of our Salaf al-Saleh, that it's not permissible to overthrow the Muslim leader so long as he makes salah. And this has been established from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we've covered in many of the classes before, and we just make motion to it, yarhamukallah. That the Messenger of Allah had informed the believers that there will come a time when they will have criminal leaders. And they asked the Messenger of Allah, shouldn't we fight them and overthrow them? And the Messenger of Allah said, no, so long as they establish the salah. Or in other narrations, no, so long as you don't see clear kufr with them, that you have evidence with it from Allah. So we see from the Khawarij that they have opposed what is well known from the deen of Al-Islam, is that you do not overthrow the leader. And this is advice for us in these days and times where there's a big discussion about the Muslim leaders, and are they criminal, and are they Muslim, and are they kafir, and the way of those believers who are upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that they don't get involved in this issue of worrying about, is the Muslim leader kafir or Muslim, or should they overthrow him or not. This is, as we see in this case, from the ways of the Khawarij to go out and to overthrow the Muslim leaders. Rather, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given us some advice, as we had mentioned the actual text in some of these narrations, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they will ask of you your rights, and they won't give you, they'll ask of you their rights, and they won't give you your rights. They asked the Prophet ﷺ, what should we do? The Prophet ﷺ said, give them their rights and ask Allah for your rights. And even in other narrations, the Messenger ﷺ says, even if they beat your back and take your money, then hear and obey. This is the deen of Al-Islam, and this is the way of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Some of the ulama, they say, for the people who have any doubt, and they can refer to the text so that they can be clear on this point, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala, that some of the ulama said, if you have a problem with these criminal leaders, and you think the way to overcome them is over by overthrowing them, then know that you have opposed the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that they have only been placed over you because of your deeds. And wallahi, if you take a look at any of the Muslim countries where the people are trying to fight the leaders that they call kufar, maybe the people of that country are worse off than their leaders. And wallahi, the examples are too many for us to mention. And we hope that this is sufficient to keep us away from worrying about getting into those issues. As one of the tapes had spread, and it had spread amongst the people who lean towards deviance. And maybe many of you never heard of this tape of the brother Faisal from England. Because inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I hope once for myself and once for you good, that he saves our ears from listening to the deviance. This brother, he was spreading tapes around, and the tapes only got into the hands of people who leaned towards deviance. But alhamdulillah, we got a fatwa from one of our ulama and said, if you have the ability to stop them, stop them. And we broke up many of those tapes, alhamdulillah. And we promised the brothers, if we catch you selling them, we will pay you a visit and make sure that you don't spread this deviance amongst the Muslims anymore. At any rate, in this tape, he's talking about the Muslim scholars and the Muslim leaders. But the people should take a look at people's personal lives to see that they haven't even got their own selves together worrying about the case of the Muslim leaders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our leaders righteous. And this is the dua of the scholars of this deen. That they say, they used to say, if I had a dua that I knew it would be answered, it would be that Allah would make righteous our leaders. Because if the Muslim leaders are righteous, then the rest of the Muslims are righteous. And this is our dua, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the leaders of the Muslims righteous. Also, we see in this story, as they were informing Ali that the people have come to overthrow you. Ali said, leave them alone. I'm not fighting them until they fight me. and they will soon fight me. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is the one who had already prophesied that they will fight against the people of the Haqq. And the Prophet ﷺ gave their descriptions, and then he said that they will fight the people of the truth. And this is the case that Ali radiallahu anhu, he understood the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knew what was coming because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already prophesied it before. Also, we see in his statement, "Leave them alone," that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is courageous, and he was the leader of the people of the truth, and he wasn't afraid of the people of deviance and their threats that they're going to overthrow or kill the people of the truth, because you can't kill the truth, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. You can't think because you kill somebody that the truth is dead. The truth is here to stay, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who sent His messenger with His guidance and the deen of truth, that it may prevail, even if the disbelievers hate it. So you can kill whoever you want to, the truth ain't going nowhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun." Indeed, we are the ones who sent down the dhikr, or the revelation from the Quran and the Sunnah, and we are the ones to preserve it. Kill whoever you want to, people of deviance, the truth will be here after you kill whoever you kill. And this should be the attitude of the people of the truth, that they're courageous and they're brave when it comes to dealing with the people of deviance, and that they let the people of deviance know that they're not afraid, because the truth will prevail. And this is what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us upon. As if you reflect back to Islam in America, maybe about 50 years ago or more or less, when Elijah the liar, alayhi ma yastahiqu min Allah, and his movement was spreading in America, they chumped the Muslims off. And the Muslims were afraid to stand up on the truth. Even Malcolm X, rahimahullah, he had mentioned one time that somebody came up to him secretly and told him, "You're not Muslim. Go and make Hajj and find out." And then ran. And he said when he made the Hajj, he saw that in fact he wasn't Muslim, and he took his shahada, rahmatullahi alayhi. At any rate, we hope, inshallah ta'ala, that we extract from this story a lesson of bravery in front of the people of deviance when they come with their false Islam. We also see from this story one of the verdicts of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asking of Ali, and that is to delay the Salatul Asr until it cools off. Dhuhr time is the hottest time of the day, and Ali was asking him to delay the Dhuhr to about Asr time, when it could be a little cooler, and that would allow him time to discuss or to debate with the deviants. And this is from the verdict of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Al-Bukhari, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands the believers to delay Dhuhr, or advise the believers to delay Dhuhr, because it is from the hot or the heat of Jahannam at that time of the day. So when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is asking to delay the salat, we hope that the people understand that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had delayed some of the salat, like in the case of Dhuhr, and also in the case of Salatul Isha, and the people shouldn't worry, that this is from the deen of Al-Islam, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Ali radiallahu anhu, he told Abdullah ibn Abbas that he fears for him. And this should be the concern of the Muslim, that he wants for his brother what he wants for himself, and that the Muslim loves the safety of his brother Muslim. And whenever he fears any harm for him, then he expresses it in the manner like we see Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu expressing it to Ali. Ali expressing it to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. But we see that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is just as brave. And this was the case of the warriors and the case of the ulama, that whether the people fought jihad or whether they memorized the Quran, that they were brave when it came to defending this deen. As he says, "Don't worry, ain't nobody gonna hurt me. My character, inshallah, is good, and I haven't harmed anyone. Why should I worry about somebody harming me?" And he knows that he's going with the finest weapons that anyone can take with him, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We also benefit from this story that he put on his finest clothes and he combed his hair and what have you when he went out to meet them. And that this was the custom of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that on important occasions and what have you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to put on his finest clothing to take care of business. And this is the way of the Muslims, walhamdulillah. Islam doesn't command us to be bums, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Islam doesn't encourage us to be extravagant either. But at the same time, we find this guidance from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to put on some nice clothing when it comes to something important. Like when we have an interview for the job, you have a nice haircut, comb your hair, whatever, have your beard groomed, your nice oils on, your clean white thobe, or what have you, and then you go present your case, or whatever you have to do when you take care of important business, that you make sure that you are at your best, as we see from this example of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he learned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And Allah is the one who says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And certainly you find in the Messenger of Allah the finest or the best example. We also see that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, from the very beginning, starts off with quoting the Book of Allah and using the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as evidence from just the way he dressed. And this is and was the way of the people of knowledge, that they have their evidences all the way across the board, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Even though he came to debate them, and they understood, and Allah knows best, what he came for, but they just wanted to try to start trouble from the beginning, and he handled it with fine character and the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ayat from the Quran. And this is the way that we should handle the people, and not to let the people, and Allah knows best, get us upset, but to establish the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At any rate, they went on to ask him what he had, and before he presented his case, radiallahu anhu. He says, I came from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Muhajirun and the Ansar. I came from the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the one who was married to his daughter, the ones who the Quran was revealed to. They are more knowledgeable of the meaning of the Quran, and there is no one from amongst you from amongst them, meaning from amongst the Sahaba. He wanted to, before he began, to show where he's coming from. I'm coming from the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, the Muhajirun and the Ansar, the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised in his Quran and on the tongue of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's coming from the fourth best of this ummah after its Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, the one who married the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the father of Hassan and Al-Hussein, the beloved grandchildren of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. They are the people who the Quran was revealed to. So first he's developing his argument on where he's coming from before he even began, that I'm coming from the strongest basis and foundation in this deen, the Quran and the Sunnah, and the companions of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is what we're calling to when we call to this da'wah to Salafiyya, that we're coming from the same background that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he's coming from. He's coming from the background of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it's important for all of the Muslims to make sure that their deen is based and founded on the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Sahaba. Because they understood the Quran better than you. Is there someone from amongst us sitting in this room that thinks he understands the Quran better than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was right there, who told you the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to break out in a sweat, or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the camel when the revelation came and the camel fell down? They were there when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was receiving the revelation, and they told you all about it, and now you going to tell them how to understand it and practice it? Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. And this is from the biggest refutation on all of the modernists from all of the groups and the sects in Islam, from amongst the people who think that the Sahaba were men and we were men. Meaning, they can understand Islam and we can understand Islam just as good or if not better. وَلَا حَوْلَا وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And this is the way of the people of deviance, from the first group of deviants. That amongst the first deviances after the death of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام was people thinking that they know the Quran better than the Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the same problem that we have today, that people interpret and understand the Quran on their own understanding. Rather, wallahu musta'an, people don't even know the Arabic language talking about they understand the Quran. I don't need to know no Arabic. I ain't stupid. I know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. What makes people this arrogant other than their ignorance? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from it. And we saw that he had already won the argument before it started. This is who I'm coming from, and you ain't got nobody like that with you. He's coming from the people of the Muhajirun and the Ansar, the people who fought in Badr and Uhud and the battles with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people were right there with the revelation. This is who I'm coming from. Y'all don't got no Sahaba with y'all. So this is where I'm coming from. Now we can begin if you like. And this was the attitude of the people who are astray. They said, don't debate the Quraysh. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he's Qurashi. Abdullah ibn Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim sallallahu radiallahu anhu, he's from the Quraysh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rather they are a people who love to argue and debate, referring to the mushrikeen of the Quraysh. He's trying to apply this to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, because he came with the argument that they couldn't refute. So what you try to do is end the debate from the beginning, because if you go into it, you know you're going to lose. And this is the way of the people of deviance today. Soon as you tell them, if what we're saying is wrong, when we call to the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Sahab and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in and the scholars of this deen, and you call it old and outdated, let's sit down and discuss it. They don't want to sit down and discuss it. They just want to say they're fanatics, they're too strict, they're out of it, they're following some Saudi government, so on and so forth, because they don't want the debate. Because how are you going to debate with the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam? So they try to make statements to make everybody laugh so that no debate takes place, and then their foolishness and stupidity can continue on. Because if they ever sit down with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they will be exposed. And we can see this today, that the people of deviance, they never want to sit down. Everybody's talking about unity of the Muslims. We ain't seen one unity conference where we're going to sit down and discuss the methodology of these crazy imams and these deviant groups that are based on people's own desires. When is the meeting? I don't know how many meetings he said. They said, let's have a meeting and unite. Tell them, no problem. I want one thing on the agenda. What's your aqidah and your manhaj? What are we going to unite on? They said, we're going to unite all, we are Muslim. I said, wallahi, Khomeini used to say he's Muslim. And Khomeini used to say he has a place higher than the prophets and the angels with Allah. Khomeini used to say, if I ever get into Medina, I'll dig up the two graves of the homosexuals, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhu. Khomeini used to say, the Quran you have is incomplete. One third of the original Quran that the prophet stole from Ali. When Jibreel came, because Ali was young, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stole prophethood from Ali radiallahu anhu. The Khomeini who said, I die whenever I want to. I die whenever I want to. May Allah give him what he deserves. And the ulama of this deen have declared him a kafir in Allah, even though he said that he was Muslim. Now this is the case with Farrakhan. Everybody wondering around, is he Muslim or not? Ask him who Allah is. He said he came in the person of Master Far Muhammad in 1930 and mysteriously disappeared after he was jailed in 1933 or 34. And Elijah Muhammad Robert Poole is the messenger of Allah. And salah is all standing. People act like we forgot. Wallahi, ain't nobody forget that crazy stupidity. All standing. Fasting in December. Zakat to Farrakhan now, used to be to Elijah. Hajj is in Chicago. Ya akhi, on Savior's Day. Wallahi, how somebody going to doubt the kufr of this type of people who disbelieve in Islam? And it's the same thing with the Qadianiya, who try to call themselves Ahmadiyya. And some of the people think they Muslim because they not American. They kafirs. Talking about Ghulam Mirza something is the messenger of Allah along with Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How we doubting in the kufr of this? We uniting just because people say I'm Muslim. Wallahi, the 5%ers used to say they Muslims. We're righteous Muslims. Wallahi, you a 5%er. We have to unite on the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the way of the sahaba. But the people, they don't want to discuss that. They want to say, let's overlook our differences. Our differences have made us divide. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, as we line up when we straighten the rows. Straighten the rows or Allah will divide your hearts. Rows crooked like that, wallahi, go to the messages of these crazy people. People are strayed from the path. Look at their rows. Your road crooked, how you gonna be? How your heart gonna be united? Your road's crooked in the salat. And then when they come and see the road straight, they're talking about what you operate in there, a military camp. Wallahi, you don't even know what Islam is. And if you understood your statement, you would have left Islam. Because this is making mockery of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's the one who taught us to straighten the roads. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to straighten the roads so much back, and then he kissed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I never taste anything so sweet than the sweat of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people of deviance, this was their way in the past, and this is their way now. They don't want to sit down and discuss anything in light of the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say, your imam is a mubtadir, straight up deviant. They say, astaghfirullah, he talking about the imam. No, don't say he talking about the imam. Let's sit down and see why we call him a mubtadir. Let's see why he's calling him a deviant. Let's take a look at what he says and what he does and compare it to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. They say we are Muslim. Or they make the other statements that they make in order to laugh. But the Islam will spread, alhamdulillah. At any rate, some of them wanted to listen. And this is the case, and it's important for us to understand. Not everybody deviant is going to go out like that. Some of them sincere, but that's all they heard up until that point. As it says, so a group of them came over, two or three of them said, nah, we got to speak to him. I mean, if he's coming from the companions of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's coming from the Muhajirun and the Ansar, the people who this revelation came to, how come we can't at least listen to him? And this is the case nowadays, so we have to be mindful that not always to just simply make mockery of the people who have gone astray. Some of them are innocent and sincere and waiting for the evidences to be established against what they're on in order that they can accept the truth. And for this we have to, inshallah ta'ala, always keep the door of nasiha open. And always keep the doors of discussion open so that the sincere ones from amongst them can hear what is correct and come back to the truth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he asked them, well, what is your problem? And then they laid it out. And then after he heard all that they had to bring, then he began to refute it in light of the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as he had said when he asked them, don't you see, after they presented their case, if I bring to you evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah that will refute what you say you on, what you just mentioned right now, will you come back to the truth? They said, yeah. This is the case of the people who are sincere. And this is the da'wah, inshallah ta'ala, to the people who are deviants. Hear the deviants out. Ask them, if I bring you the evidences to refute that, will you leave? If they're sincere, they'll leave. And if they're not, they'll be just like the case of the brother who follows Farrakhan. I'm sitting there talking to him. If I call you away from your stupidity, will you accept the haq? Yes. Every ayat in the Quran is a refutation against that program. He ain't accept none of it. Because some people weren't going to go out that way. But other people with that program, soon as they heard the haq, they submitted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the people who listen to the truth and follow it. We saw in all three of the cases that they were misunderstanding ayah in the Quran that led them to their position. And this is important for us to understand, inshaAllah ta'ala. Not everybody who is using the Quran as evidence, the Quran is evidence for them. Rather, some people are using the Quran, but the Quran is against them instead of being for them, because they don't understand the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, they interpret it on their own desires, and this is the way of the people of deviance. So, as the ulama are calling us to follow the way of our Salaf al-Salih, we have to understand that everyone who says that he follows the Quran and the Sunnah isn't. The Khawarij said they follow the Quran and the Sunnah. And their verdict was, Allah said, the judgment is for Allah. How Ali gonna judge when Allah is the only judge? Where they get that understanding from? They invented it. Because they should have got their understanding from the companions of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, we see that really the people of deviance who misinterpret the Quran or understand the Quran on their own desires, that the Quran itself refutes them. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he listened to their argument and the evidences from the Quran and used the Quran to refute them. He said if they were under reading the Quran, they should have refuted their own selves, except that they are people who follow their own desires. And that's how come the Quran leads them astray. And many of the people are astray, you just use the ayah in the Quran to refute them. Like we were just discussing earlier, the people will say, I only follow the Quran, brother. I don't know about that hadith stuff. You say, no problem. The Quran you say you follow, if we quote ayah from it to disprove you, will you return back to the truth? Yes. Do you make Salatul Jumu'ah, brother? Yes. Is there two khutbahs with a short sitting between the two by the imam? They say, yes. What ayah says that? Ain't no ayah in the Quran says that. Do you make Salatul Jumu'ah, two rakas aloud after the khutbah? What ayah says that? And why do you make Dhuhr on Thursday, four rakas silent, and then the next day, two rakas aloud? Did the ayah teach you that? Or must you submit to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And you can go on and on with the issue of refuting the people with just the basic things of the salat. Even if you go back to the salat to ask them, do you recite Surah Al-Fatiha? He says, yes. Is the ayah in the Quran tell you in the first raka'ah recite Surah Al-Fatiha and another raka'ah? Where did you learn it from? From the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after you tie them up in all of this to show them how stupid they are, then you just ask them, wallahi, if you follow the Quran, tell me how you practice this ayah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, if you love Allah, follow me. Allah will love you and forgive your sins. Tell me how you follow the statement of Allah, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Now whatever the messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he prohibits you, leave it. I want the Quran too, brother. Tell me how you practice that ayah. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. I swear by your Lord that none of them believes until they make you, alayhi salatu wasalam, the judge in the affairs that they dispute in, and then they don't find any difficulty in their chest from your decision, but they submit willingly. We have a difference. Is it only the Quran or the Quran and the Sunnah? Who's going to decide according to the Quran? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are you going to submit? So the people who are astray, really, the Quran itself will refute all of the programs. And if you think it won't, just ask some of the ulama to sit with some of the people of deviance. And this is only one of the cases. And really, there's been other debates between the people of knowledge and the people of deviance. And it's always been that the truth will prevail. Because this isn't the program of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu against the program of the Khawarij. This is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of the sahaba of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam radiallahu anhum ajma'een. This is that way against the program that you invented. And this is why nobody has anything to say against this deen. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We also see, and this will be the last point, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, that the sincere ones from amongst them accepted it. But they were the minority. As it was 6,000 of them, 2,000 of them accepted the truth, and 4,000 fought. And this is the case then, and the case now, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that the people of deviance going to remain on that stuff, so don't be sad. A couple of them might leave, but the overwhelming majority of them are going to remain on it, and they're going to go down with what they have to go down with. And this is from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you won't find any change in the decree of Allah. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that Muslims will be astray, and that the people of Haq will defeat them. Why are Allah always worried about everybody uniting? And why we can't all get along? Wallahi, people are going to be astray. Do you know better or the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said there's going to be people that fight against the Muslims, from amongst the Muslims. Are you going to say it ain't going to be none? And if you agree with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, tell us who they are. Wallahi, we know who they are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength to deal with them and the fine manner that we saw the likes of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma deal with them. And there are many virtues from this story other than the ones that we mentioned, and we hope that this was sufficient. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I don't know if there was any comments or any questions around the story or some of the benefits that we have extracted from it. If so, we can take that now, inshallah. Now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us and you from amongst the sincere Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to practice the pure Islam that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died upon, and that his companions propagated it up until our time, until Yawm al-Qiyamah. What had taken place amongst the Muslims was already foreseen by the one who created humanity, tabarak wa ta'ala. Ala ya'lamu man khalaqa wa huwa al-latiful khabir. Doesn't the one who create knows best, and he is al-latiful khabir? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created us and he knows best. Ya rahmatullah. And he sent his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us his deen. Wa ma yantiqu 'anil hawa in huwa illa wahyu yuha. And he doesn't speak on his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. Listen to this revelation revealed to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and listen to what he says. Sataftariqu ummati ala 73 firqa. كلها في النار إلا واحدة قيل ما الواحدة يا رسول الله قال ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. And this hadith has been authentically collected by Tirmidhi and others, as ulama read this hadith authentic, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, my ummah will soon be divided into 73 sects, all of them will be in the fire except one. They said, which one is that ya Rasulullah? He said, those who are upon what I am upon today and my companions. If the Muslim rulers are one or 50. If the Muslim rulers are righteous or corrupt, when the Muslims divide, those people who are upon what the Prophet ﷺ and his companions were upon, they are the people who are correct, and they are the people on the path to Jannah from amongst the Muslims. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, he says, and it has many narrations and wordings, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين لا يضرهم من خاذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there will never cease to be a party from my ummah on the truth, ظاهرين. And the ulama, they gave two meanings to this ظاهرين, meaning that they will be apparent and visible, and they will be conquering the rest of the people. Those who abandon them and those who oppose them can't harm them, and they will be that way until the hour is established. We'll continue after that, inshallah ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, he shows us that there will always be a group of people who will be on the truth, and those people will be apparent for everybody else to see that's the way of the truth. And the scholars of Islam, they said, if those people aren't Ahlul Hadith, then I don't know who they are. If they aren't the people who hold on to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought from his statements and his actions, and that which he approved of, alayhi salatu wasalam, then I don't know who they are. Now the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. And in some of the narrations, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained who they were, as he says, الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ إِذَا فَسَدَ النَّاسِ أو الَّذِينَ يَصْلُحُونَ إِذَا فَسَدَ النَّاسِ. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Islam began strange. Meaning when Islam came and the people were mushriks, it was strange. And Islam will return back to being strange as it began. It was strange amongst the disbelievers at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it will come a time where Islam will be strange to the Muslims. And Allah knows best, we're witnessing those times right now. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, so give glad tidings to the ghuraba. And in some of the narrations, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained who they are. They are the people who correct themselves when the rest of the people have gone corrupt. Or they are the people who correct the people when the people are corrupt. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, and there's other hadith that we can mention, show that the Muslims will be divided. And when the Muslims are divided, some of them are going to be astray and some of them will be guided. That party that will be guided, Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam taught us their characteristics. They are the people who are upon what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions were upon. And you know what it is because it has been recorded, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. You can look at someone's dress code. You can look at his salah. You can look at his siyam. You can look at his hajj, and you can look at the other aspects of his ibadah, or his mu'amalat, or his character to see if it's in accordance with the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon and his companions, to know who will be correct and who won't be. It shouldn't be that everyone is so saddened that he can't get himself together because of the situation of the Muslims. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and we can end it on this point inshallah, and the long hadith of Hudhayfa, where he said that people used to ask about the good and I used to ask about the bad for fear that I will fall into it. Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu is asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about some bad, and the Prophet explained to them that there will be times when it will be bad. So bad that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked when he told them to hold on to the leader of the Muslims and the Jama'ah, referring to the Khalifa and the Muslims who are with that one Khalifa. And he was asked, suppose there's no one leader and no one jama'ah of the Muslims, then what, ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet ﷺ answered him, فَاعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرَقَ كُلَّهَا. Stay away from all of those groups. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger commanded us, when the people have been gone astray, stay away from all of those groups. The groups that have invented different ways other than the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion. Ya akhi, the Muslims are the way we see them right now. And we will either fall into the category of those people who are upon what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon and his companions, or we will fall into the way of those people who follow their own desires and have invented a way other than the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And we can give you some examples. You've heard of the Muslims overthrowing Muslim leaders and talking this discussion, or haven't you? Either that's from Islam or it's not. Is it from Islam? To overthrow the criminal Muslim leaders. It's from Islam. What ayah teaches us that? Such as? Name the clear kufr that you know of the leaders. We mentioned Khomeini, it's clear. Who's trying to overthrow them? No, this one that you're mentioning. Who's trying to overthrow the one you're mentioning? The legitimate case, ain't nobody trying to overthrow him. Somebody's trying to overthrow Hafiz al-Assad? Alright, let's back up, inshallah. I wish we had time to have a whole discussion. I wish maybe at Fajr we can continue on where we could. No problem. We can handle all of that. You know, everything you're dealing with firsthand, everybody's dealing with firsthand experiences now. When they tried to overthrow that leader, what happened? He killed the whole city, and all of this raping and stuff took place afterwards. Would it have been better to be patient with him? Or would it have been better to be what you saw? And who was the ulama or the scholars of this deen that commanded the people to overthrow him? Or was it fanatical individuals who don't know Islam that went out to try to overthrow this leader? We see it, and you can look at some other examples if you want to take some other examples where the people try to overthrow the leader, and then look what happened afterwards to the people. Let the brothers tell you the stories of Algeria or the other countries. I don't like to mention it because people get a little, whatever, emotional and upset. But we look at the end result of all of that overthrowing the leader. You live in the serious crimes that have been transgressed upon the Muslims because of trying to overthrow the leader. When they're going to turn to patience in the way of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we can even back up to your ayah that I hope that you didn't quote. And whoever doesn't judge by that which Allah has revealed, then they are the kuffar. Ya akhi, looking at you, you're not even judging by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. You shave your beard, and Allah has never given anyone permission from amongst the men to shave their beard. Are you judging by other than what Allah has revealed? Yes. What does that make you? For you to shave your beard. No. Allah didn't give you permission for you to shave your beard. Shaving your beard is judging by what? The book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, or by other than what Allah revealed? What does that make you? There's no opinions. Don't invent anything on Islam. And if you have some opinions, hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqeen. The Quran and the Sunnah is clear. What opinions from the Quran that you can shave your beard? And what opinions from the Sunnah that you can shave your beards? Because we don't know any opinion except it's haram in Islam to shave your beard. You know something other from the Quran and the Sunnah? Wallahi, quote it, because we need to get this point down. Name one ayah and one hadith they quoted you. We're saying judging by the book of Allah. If you want to get into opinions and stretch it open, why don't you give those Muslim rulers the same type of stretching and opinion that you have to stretch it? Why don't they get the same type of leeway to stretch what they're doing? It's not the same. No, I'm not asking that. Did Allah, is it from Allah's judgments to shave our beards? Shave your beard. The ayat is, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Have you read that ayat? What does that ayat mean? Did the Prophet shave his beard? No, he didn't shave his beard, alayhi salatu wasalam. Did the Prophet command you, أَوْفُ الْلِحَا, in hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, I command you to grow your beard. And hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Rather, the ulama say the Prophet ﷺ used six different commandments to grow your beard. Six different words, all commanding to grow your beard. Are you judging by other than the book of Allah? Yes. What did Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the one we're talking about now, say about that same ayat that you're quoting? This ayah, whoever judges by other than what Allah revealed, then they are the kuffar. What did Abdullah ibn Abbas say about that ayah? The one who said, I come from the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And his cousin, the one who was married to his daughter, I've come from the Muhajirun and the Ansar, those people the Quran was revealed to. What did he say about the ayah you quoted? He said, kufrun duna kufrin. Kufr, that's not real kufr. Kufr that doesn't take you outside of Islam. Not like kufr in Allah and the angels and in the last day. We have to understand this deen with the understanding of the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the real scholars of Islam. Not the people who come and invent their new ways. And if we fall into that, then we'll fall into placing importance on that which we don't find Allah and His Messenger and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad, placing emphasis on. This issue of the rulers, wallahi, we have ourselves to get together before the rulers to get together. Wallahi, some of the rulers better than the people. And I don't want to, you know, embarrass you or whatever, but you can challenge the actions of some of the rulers and the actions of some of the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. At any rate, in these days and times, the Muslims have divided. Some of the Muslims have gone astray, and some of the Muslims remain on the truth. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who remain on the truth. And no one should feel like he's lost in today's world, and he doesn't know where to turn. Whether he should be with that group, or that group, or that group. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam left him with guidance. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the authentic hadith, taraktukum ala al-bayda laylaha kanahariha la yazighu anha ba'di illa halik. I've left you on bayda. I left you on this clear path. No one will stray from it after me except that he will be destroyed. That straight path is the path that Allah speaks about in His ayat in the Quran. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِي. And this is my path, the straight path. Follow it and don't follow any other path. They will take you away from my path. Any other path, those paths will take you away from my path, the path of bid'ah and following your own desires, as the scholars of Islam explain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا أَنَا وَمَنَ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Say, this is my path, I am calling to Allah, عَلَى بَصِيرًا, on evidence, knowledge, proofs, me and those who are with me, those who follow me. And subhanallah, I'm not from amongst the mushrikeen. The path, walhamdulillah, is clear. and we have been commanded to follow it, and no one will have an excuse in front of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah that he didn't understand which way to go because the Muslims were divided, or because the Muslims weren't united, or because the Muslims didn't have a leader. All of this was already spoken about during the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, even though he never saw it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never saw a time without a leader of the Muslims, but he spoke about it in the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never saw the Muslims divided into 73 sects, but he spoke about it, alayhi salatu wassalam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't witness the time when there will be only a party of the Muslims on the truth, but he spoke about it sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sahaba memorized it, and they understood it, and they passed it on, and they passed it on to us. And it's for us to be upon this pure guidance, because we won't have an excuse afterwards. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Yes. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If I quote to you from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which will define the question you ask, will you accept it? I'm talking about hadith authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallatu wasalam. Is there any doubt of the hadith of Sahih Muslim? We've handled this so many times, and I would advise you to go back to the Kitab al-Imara and the Sahih Muslim to read the many hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam around leadership. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ta'arifuna minhum wa tunkirun," that you will see some things that they do that you are in agreement with, and you will see some things that they do that you are opposed to. The Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam already spoke about it, and we mentioned some of them earlier in the talk, that they will beat your back and take your money. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, if they beat your back and they take your money, what did the Prophet command you to do to those type of leaders? Asmi' wa ati'. Hear and obey. Don't say that people didn't give bay'ah to them, because I know people have given bay'ah to those leaders. The people have given bay'ah to the Muslim leaders in the Muslim lands and their leaders. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba, as they explain ayah in the Quran, they explain leaders. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Umara. Who are the Umara? Who are the Umara? The leaders, in the plural sense. The leaders. You're going to see some stuff you like, and you're going to see some stuff you don't like from the leaders. This is now, and it was in the past. Everybody's heard of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. You've heard of him? The criminal Muslim leader. Was he the Khalifa? No, he wasn't the Khalifa of the Muslims. He was a criminal leader? Yes. Yeah, he is leaders in Islam. We have to understand the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam already spoke about them. Leader. A leader is somebody in charge. We don't have to get all technical on this stuff. Leaders are leaders in charge. Have there been khalifas who have been criminal? What have we been commanded to do? The example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned that there will be leaders who would establish the salat outside of this time. And we heard of some of the people establish Fajr when Fajr goes out. When the sun rises, the leader might establish Fajr. Prophet ﷺ spoke about an authentic hadith right there in Sahih Muslim. What did the Prophet command us to do? Make salat in the proper time and then go make the salat with the leader. Yahi, Islam is clear, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. This issue of criminal leadership is not new. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ already spoke about it. You're not going to mention and find anything that wasn't dealt with. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam came and dealt with everything. Everything has been dealt with. Those criminal leaders, they've been dealt with. But there's something that hasn't been dealt with. It's called our own souls.
The Muslim leaders are criminal. And even myself, I hear from the questions that we don't even understand Islam. We don't understand Islam. Maybe some of the rulers at least understand what they're being opposed to. Or maybe they don't understand. And what is the case if somebody's ignorant? We have been commanded to obey our leaders in obedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And we don't follow them in disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, as the Prophet says, إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ. Obedience is only in the ma'roof, or that which is in accordance to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Muslim leaders allow Muslims to make salat in the Muslim lands. We want to talk about them, we visited them, we seen them. They let Muslims make salat in the masjids. Muslims don't make salat in the masjid. What's the excuse? Wallahi, Muslims growing their beards in Egypt. Wallahi, Muslims grow their beards in Egypt. And I'm happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has let us learn our deen from the likes of those men. In Palestine? In Palestine, wallahi, alhamdulillah, I've met brothers. Even one of the brothers, Muntasir, that I studied with in Medina, it was one of the finest students who graduated from the College of Da'wah and the University of Medina. He was from Palestine, with a beard and salat and reading the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he wasn't throwing no rocks. And he said, the only people throwing rocks are people astray. The people who on this deen preparing in Palestine, you don't see the movies. They ain't showing you nobody training, getting serious. Ain't nobody, listen, this deen ain't stupid, walhamdulillah. Islam ain't commanding somebody to throw some rocks at some enemies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, وَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Ain't no rocks, no quwwah. As the Prophet ﷺ got on the minbar and explained, أَلَّا إِنَّ الْقُوَّةَ الرَّمْيُ. Isn't power the ability to shoot? Muslims in Palestine shooting and learning how to shoot. Maybe you ain't see it, they there. Get on the brothers who the deen, on this deen they training. You don't see that on TV. You see the Muslim, you don't even know they Muslim. Wallahi, we see it on the news. I ain't know they was Muslims. You see all kind of fake janazas, all kind of bid'ah and balala. I ain't even know the people was Muslim. Somebody said, them your brothers in Palestine. I said, I don't know. I ain't hear no shahada or nothing. I ain't know somebody Muslim. Wallahi haq. And the brothers that we knew from Palestine that were on this deen, they're the ones who told us what was going on in Palestine. They said that people left Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen and gave that land to the Jews. They left Allah's deen and gave that land to the Jews. And some of the Muslims believe that that land is the Jews' land. As I heard the Muslims say to me, if that ain't their land, where they land? Everybody got a place on earth somewhere. Where they place that if that ain't it? Allah al-Musta'an. Ya akhi, what we have to do is turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. People in Egypt with beards, all their life. I had a teacher, wallahi, I was shocked, he was from Egypt. I said, I heard they make you shave your beard. He said, Allah got more right that he be feared. I said, you ain't afraid? SubhanAllah. I was ashamed even after I said it the way he looked at me. Yeah, people in Egypt with beards. People in Egypt with folds. People in Egypt memorizing and practicing and establishing the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And they have Palestine. And they in every other country, you have this group that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about. On the truth apparent. If you don't think it, go to any country, you'll see the people who are on the sunnah. You see their thobes, you see the women in the black and in the niqabs, you see the brothers with their beards, and you see them when they make salat, they have their sutra, and it look like they know what they're doing. And wallahi, in every country, in America included, you see the people of deviance and who are astray. And you see the way they dress, and you see the way they make salat, and you listen to their understanding of Islam. Wallahi, we are more in need, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best of understanding this deen than some of those leaders. And that the scholars of Islam, when it comes time to deal with those leaders, The scholars of Islam are going to teach us to deal with them. We just regular people. How are we going to come up and say, I think you should deal with Husni Mubarak tomorrow? What I know, what you know. But the scholars of Islam, they know and they gave the verdicts. Why are people who know better than us not saying what we say? Because they know better than us. If the ulama were calling us to go wage war in Egypt, people might be going to wage war in Egypt. What scholars are calling the masses of the Muslims to go wage war on the president in Egypt? Wallahi, we have to follow the scholars of this deen. This is what we have been commanded to. And if we don't, we're going to use ayat and hadith, and we understand them with our own personal understanding, or the understanding of somebody who doesn't understand. But we're not going to take the understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. No. We'll make this the last thing as we get a little late. Now this is the case everywhere. The people of the truth are going to be known for the truth of the Quran and the Sunnah, and that's their way. And the other people are going to be known for not knowing about anything about Islam and just blindly wandering on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and educate us to our deen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Well, I took me.